be thankful for your food and show it. Be thankful for your food and show it. Show you are thankful. Well, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, when Solomon was king, silver was treated as stones. And with all that wealth, he was known to have imported luxurious, exotic foods from so many different parts of the world. He even developed new ways to grow foreign foods in Israel. And that was a difficult thing because only along the Jordan Valley was it really green and good for planting. He also loved exotic wines. And he imported it. But he also developed new ways of cultivating different types of grapes to make different types of wine. And when his Queen of Sheba came, she didn't just bring gold, she brought spices. And those spices were not for perfumes as much as they were for food. That was a big part of life. And then you think about the volume of food. If you read the account of the amount of food that was cooked daily in Solomon's palace, it would stun you. You can read a full list of that in Chronicles. And then there was a huge staff. Imagine you have an army of people who were collecting, gathering food, and preparing food. And it was a time of real blessing in Israel. But any good thing can become a bad thing if it were not handled properly. So all the success and the enjoyment, the good food could all fall apart if it were not handled properly. And Solomon, as a wise man, he was known as the wisest man to have ever lived. He talked to his people about that. He told his children, he told his people, he wrote many proverbs about that, how they should be careful to handle food in order that they may not misuse it and bring God's judgment upon them, to take a good thing and make it into a bad thing. Now, he started, of course, with thanksgiving. He talked a lot about giving thanks to God for all his mercies, for all his blessings, whether it's in the Psalms where he wrote or Proverbs or Songs of Solomon or Ecclesiastes. And we know that right off the bat. But there are three other things that we must deal with regards to food that Solomon addressed as a good father. First of all, he said, you must work hard for your food. Second, you must learn to use your food well. And third, you must learn to share your food with the needy. And our goals are that as the redeemed children of Christ, you will learn how to get, how to use, and how to share your food. First, we talk about you must work hard for your food. You must work hard for your bread. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 26. And keep your sermon notes handy. Lots of reading today. Together, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. Now, what is that speaking about? It means you must go and get it. There were sometimes the seed will fall, and those who are poor will go and pick up what was left behind by the harvesters. It was called gleaning. Remember, that's what Ruth did to help to provide for her mother-in-law. This was a hard task, especially that women were involved in. Proverbs 31, verse 14. Together, the good woman is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. That's part of it. Hard work. Things didn't just fall out of the sky. Hard work was required. You see, work is part of life. Part of the very creation of the world. Adam wasn't put in the garden and say, just sit there and eat and get fat. He was given a task, in fact, many tasks, to rule over the world, to have dominion over it, to provide for his needs. It meant cultivation. It meant work. Work just became harder because of the fall. Also, you must learn to love to work. Why is that important? Because when you work, there's a sense of satisfaction. When you get your paycheck, you know you put in the labor and God has rewarded you. People who get things for free don't live very well. That is why people who win the lottery within 2 years overwhelmingly are either poorer than they were before or dead. Most die within 2 years. Or back in poverty. Because they didn't work for it. They don't have the value for it. You know that. Your children will not value it, but when they start to work, then they realize their money has value. Yours doesn't, but theirs. They're more careful with their money. So you love to work. You get a sense of satisfaction from hard work. Don't be lazy or feel entitled about food. You don't deserve anything. You're owed nothing. You should work. You should teach your children to work hard for their food. You know, it's interesting that ants would bite off the bud of every grain they store so it wouldn't bud. Every tiny grain they take in, they bite that tip off so it wouldn't grow. That's a lot of work. But you know they will enjoy the benefits of that in winter time. So, first thing about here, this. You must work hard for your bread. Teach your children to work hard. Expect to work hard. And you will be satisfied with hard work. Second, if you don't work hard, you are foolish. You're devoid of understanding. You don't know how things really work. Because that's what God expects. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Together, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. But he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. The one who just wants to spend money, as soon as they get the money, it's gone. You know, you've got young people have that same mentality. You have money and you spend. And sometimes you spend more than you get. And you expect to be bailed out. Well, that's not how God expects. He expects you to work hard, and you will see later, to save up for hard times. The lazy will become poor and not have food. And that's why the Bible says it's important that lazy people starve. But in Canada, we're saying you should have a guaranteed income. In Canada, we're saying nobody should have any want of food. Government has a responsibility to make sure you have enough food and shelter and clothing. Not true. Proverbs 20, verse 13 says, together, do not love sleep, lest you become poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. In other words, open your eyes and go to work so you will have bread and that you will be satisfied. That's the way things work. Our whole society is being trained that you have a right to this. That's what the kids learn in school. That's what especially in university. That's the promotion of socialism. But if you don't work, you should starve. And you should watch people starve and not feel bad about it, because that's important for them. There's nothing like a starving man running out to find some way to eat. Three, those who work hard become richer as a general rule. Proverbs 27, verses 23, 25, and 26. Together, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. Know what's happening with your flocks. That means invest time. Know how they're doing. Then know the ones that are sick. In other words, be diligent about your work. And if you do, those lambs will provide the wool for your clothing. And the goats will help you to buy a field. You'll make money if you work hard. Proverbs 28, 19. Together, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. That's pretty strong language. You will have enough poverty, the one who is lazy. But you also learn, number four, you must earn your food earnestly and honestly as well. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 17 together. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel, which is sand. That's what you will end up with nothing. We like to say stolen waters are sweet. It's always nice to have the stolen thing. But the end result is not good. Because there's a sense of guilt. There's a sense of shame that comes with that. And you know, something might taste sweet to the mouth, but it ends up causing pain to the stomach. It's like the kids getting candy and they have a whole bowl of gummy bears and they smile and then they start to eat. The next thing you know, they have a stomach ache. Tastes good, but there's a price. And that's what happens when people eat stolen things and not work honestly for it. There's that guilt. And we know that because growing up, that's what you did. You found out which neighbor had fruits and you explored their trees. And you eat as much as you can, and before you know it, you end up with a stomachache because it's stolen stuff. And you don't want to eat it calmly like you should. You just try to scarf it down. And so you know, you're not doing well. Don't enjoy free food more than food from labor. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's nothing wrong if you receive, but your focus should be in blessing others, in giving to others. And that's why you have to work honestly so you have enough to give to others. Number five, save up food for hard times. Remember, we talked about the ants. Proverbs 30, verse 25. Together, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. They're smarter than people, aren't they? Ants. Because so many people, they've learned now, people in Canada, they're like 2 weeks away from going into serious debt. 2 weeks. Economists would tell you you should have at least 6 months of savings to be able to carry you. It's about 2 weeks before people run into financial trouble. Why? Because most people don't save up food for difficult times. They have it. They want the pleasure of today, and so they rob themselves. But even ants, what they have found, if ants know that there is a famine coming, maybe by the heat, maybe by the longer summers or whatever it is, they save up more food when they sense a famine is coming. Ants know that. And we who were made in the image of God and have a sense of right and wrong, we don't often do that. The point is, don't eat everything today. Save up food for hard times. That is good for your survival. Number six, ultimately, it is God who provides your food. The man who's faithful will have enough. The one who is honoring God and following God's law to prepare, to save up for hard times, to share with others, to be diligent, to know the state of his flocks. In other words, know what's going on in your life. Look at your investment. Take the time to be diligent about it. That person will have enough. Proverbs 27, verse 27. Together, you shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservant. Now, most people don't think the world of goat's milk. But after spending 8 days in Greece, I really appreciate goat's milk cheese now. And it's you'll have enough. The point is, you'll have enough. If you put in the effort, if you follow God, he will provide enough for you. You know, you could work all you want and your fields will turn to nothing. You put in all the efforts and your animals will die. But if you do so and you do it to please God, God will ultimately be the one who provides for you. Second point, you must learn to use your food well. So you must learn to work hard. God expects you to work hard for your food. The second thing is you must use your food well. First of all, don't overeat and don't keep company with people who do. In other words, avoid gluttons and don't be a glutton. Proverbs 23, 19 through 21. Together, hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Now, think about this. He's not saying don't drink wine. He's not saying don't eat meat. He's saying don't drink and eat with people who do it in excess. They are not good people to be around. Gluttony is destructive to the body. Gluttony robs you of God's blessing. You know, overeating is the number one cause for diseases in North America. High blood pressure, heart disease, you go down the list of things. It's from overeating. And it robs your family. It robs God of praise, because people who are overweight and struggle to do their functions, they are robbing God and robbing their family. They can't do things. And the abuse of food by wasting or by overeating will bring poverty and complications in life. Now, it's true that food tastes good, and everyone will say, but you don't know how good this is. But you know there are poisons that taste good. But you don't say, oh, it tastes good, I must have it. No, you have to learn self-control. And that's the foundation in terms of how you use food. Enjoy it, but don't abuse the food that God's given to you. And that leads to the second point in this, is show discretion in eating. Show discretion when eating. Proverbs 23, 1, 2, 3, together. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. So use your wisdom. And part of this is, look, if you eat with people and you're taking their food, then you'll owe them. So be careful with those wicked people who are not interested in fellowship with you, but they're interested in you eating their food so they could make demands of you. But the other side, the first part, is where it is. Look, if you're going to meet with people and you're going to eat with them, don't be someone given to appetite, meaning don't pig out. Learn self-control. Leave food for others. Give others priority. This is how you reflect Christ. And this is a special note for you who are children. And hopefully adults know this as well. Take a little first so others can have some too. Don't take everything first. Don't fill up your plate to the full so others may not have. Take a little bit and see if there's more left. That is being considerate. That's what God expects. It's that discretion when eating. Third, be satisfied with food you have. You know, if you have a lot of food and good and tasty food, thank God for it. But if you don't, and in providence of God, you don't have that big slab of meat on your plate, be thankful for what you have too. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 together. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. He didn't say, I demand that I have prime rib every day. I have prime rib with no veggies on my plate. Whatever God gives you, if he gives you just veggies, enjoy them and be thankful for them. And maybe it's hamburger. Thank God for it. Proverbs 25:16 together. Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Now, this is a very interesting one, because the use of honey reminds us that this is a food that doesn't spoil. So he's saying, don't eat it all one day. There'll be more tomorrow. It won't go bad. It's there. Take your time, eat what you need today. Now, you may not always have the best food. You may not be able to afford all whole grains and organic and pesticide-free and whatever other things people try to get today. But be thankful for what you have, knowing that you don't deserve any. Like Adam, you deserve to be tossed out of the garden and die a slow death. But God is gracious. He's gracious to you in Christ, and he's provided many things for you. Number four, enjoy the food you have. This is part of God's plan. Now, that's an interesting thing, because we grow up sometimes in this stoic society where some people are being trained to, well, you just be without feeling. You enjoy, you don't think about enjoyment. You have your food, you eat it, and same thing. Like many places in the world, they have boiled rice or boiled corn, and that's what they have, and they just eat it and go about their life. Well, if God's given you other things, you need to enjoy them. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the food that God's given to you. Proverbs 24, verse 13, together. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. See, God didn't make man to live to eat, and that's all you're called to do, as some do. Nor did God make man to eat to live, as our common saying goes. God wants you to enjoy food. And we have that in the Scripture. The Bible talks about Samson, when Samson found the bee's hive and he was able to open it in the head of the animal, the skull of the animal, he ate and was satisfied. When Jonathan was going out to war with his father and they were tired and hungry and they found honey, they ate, they enjoyed, they had strength and their eyes brightened. John the Baptist, he ate wild honey, locust and honey, sorry. And he enjoyed those things. They sustained him. And by the way, this is why God says, I'm going to send you out from Egypt to a land of what? Of milk and honey. He did not say rice cakes and wheatgrass. There was no salad there. He didn't say, oh, I want you to, there's nothing wrong with that. If you like that, enjoy it. But he said rich foods, milk and honey. This is God's blessing. God blessed his people with wine. God blessed his people with oil. Jesus didn't make Kool-Aid at the wedding ceremony. What did he make? Wine. And not just ordinary wine, good wine. It's a blessing from God that we have the things we have. So they are for enjoyment. If you have them, don't feel bad about enjoying the gifts that God's given to you. God does not expect you to be grass-eating, vegetable-nibbling only Christians. If you have good food, eat it, enjoy it, and thank God for it. If you feel guilty, you are actually shaming Christ, that God has given you these things and you're feeling guilty that you're able to eat it. Don't eat food, number five, like others, like the Pharisees did, who are no good. And don't eat with a bad heart. Don't eat with others like the Pharisees, those wicked people. Proverbs 23, verse 6 through 8, together. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. In other words, you know, when people don't like you, but they're trying to, they're fake. And they just try to sweet talk you in that way and make you think that they're good. He's saying avoid people, avoid those people. And six, eat enough. When God has provided enough for you, it is a sin not to eat. There's the other side. Now, we know one of the big problems in North America is that we eat too much. But there's the other side, when people don't eat enough, and this is part of the problem. We've created this image in society where if you're not skinny, especially if you're a woman, if you're not like skin and bones, there's something wrong. So many of young people have fallen into sickness, into depression, into suicides, because they don't eat enough. That's a disgusting thing, and that's a violation of God's law. It shows an ungratefulness. If God has provided food for you, you need to eat it. We come to our third point then. We know that you must work hard for your food. We know you must use your food well, not waste it, not over by overeating, not rejecting it, refusing to eat it. But this third point is also very important, and it's this. You must share your food with the needy. The one who has an abundance of food shares with him who doesn't. And in so doing, showing what is in his heart. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says this, together, He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. That's the generous man, and God will bless him. You know, nothing passes the eye of God. He sees everything you do, even if it's a cup of cold water. Jesus said that you give to someone, you will receive your reward. So when you sit down to eat, think of the ones who do not have anything to eat and think of how you might share with them. One of the things we did a long time ago in Suriname, where I lived, was, and we weren't rich by any stretch of imagination, we even considered poor by the world standards, but we just decided one day a week we're going to miss one meal, and whatever we value that meal to be, then we would give it to somebody who was poor. Often then we saved up the money for the persecuted church to send things for them. Now that's what we did. You can come up with your own way of how you might help. We got some starving bachelors in the church, and maybe some spinsters who can't cook. Maybe a good chance to help them, to invite them to your house and to share of God's blessing with them. Or there's something else. Just that simple thing, missing one meal a week. And there's nobody here who can say, I'm going to really suffer if I miss one meal in a week. In fact, we could probably miss a few more meals in a week, most of us, and we'll be fine. But you can use that to help others. Second, share food even with your enemies. Not just with people who are starving, but even with your enemies. You see, this might prepare them to hear the gospel. Food doesn't save anyone. But people like to sit down and talk when they eat. And by doing that, you might be able to engage them in conversations. That's why it's okay to invite people to your house who are not believers. Invite those neighbors. Talk. Let them see your life. Talk about their lives. Look at Proverbs 25, 21 and 22 together. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. You will make him uneasy. You'll make him think about these things. And that's what God expects from you. Learn as you have received, so you must give. Let's conclude. Be thankful for your food today, but that's not all. That's the first thing Solomon wanted his children to learn, and he talked about that. I hope that goes without saying. But you must also work hard for your food. Don't be lazy, otherwise you deserve to starve. Learn to use your food well. Don't abuse it. Don't waste it. Don't overeat. Don't refuse to eat. And then third, share your food with the needy. That's what God expects from us. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, God is your provider of everything you need for body and soul, including providing you with food to do the work of the kingdom. And now we start seeing this. This is much more than simply be kind and give food to others. There's a purpose that's behind this, is that you will be able to work for the kingdom when you're happy, when you're satisfied. The goal then is to work for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God provided these things to you because you are his child through Jesus. And now you are to work for him as you are strengthened by these gifts. See, knowing this in your head and in your heart will affect then how you live. Second, since God usually provides food through your labor, hard work, so you can have enough to eat, do this. Save up for the rainy day. But also enjoy your food. Also don't overeat. Also don't eat too little. Also don't waste your food. It is God's gift to do his work. By the way, that's an important one in North America. They estimate that up to 30% of food is wasted in North America. 30%. That's a lot of food that's being wasted. The food is for a purpose. It's for you to work for the kingdom of God. And then third, share your food. Maybe it will open up the door to share the gospel. And even if they reject the gospel from you, God will condemn them, because God will say, look, I sent people who showed you kindness that came from me, and you rejected me, you rejected the gospel. And I will judge you for that. But who knows? Sometimes it's a little bit of kindness that you show to someone that can make the world of difference in their lives. It might be a simple meal. It doesn't have to be a luxurious 5-course or 7-course meal. It could be just a simple meal. But that's what people want, to show, to see that you care about them and might open up the door for the gospel to come to them. And finally, God showing common grace gives food even to non-believers. But God wants to give you a greater gift. If you're not a believer, there's a greater gift that He offers. That's food for the soul. That's salvation that you can have in Jesus Christ. He did this by making His Son the substitutionary sacrifice for your soul. The one who would have that two natures that we've been learning about. Truly God and truly man, making Him the fit sacrifice for sins. And if you accept what Jesus did for you, you will have life. That is the only, and that is only the beginning of your blessing. All these other blessings that we're talking about today will be yours also. And if you want to know more, ask one of us. We'll tell you about Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words today. We know in a way it's a simpler topic, and yet we recognize that this is important that we get this right. That we realize that even these gifts that we think are even smaller gifts compared to the big things of salvation, yet in a way it reflects how we approach you, what we think about you. For you have given us these gifts, the gifts of food in abundance, as we have in this land, for the purpose of equipping us with strength in order to do the work you've called us to do, to be good parents, to be good shepherds of the congregation, to be good evangelists, healthy, strong, to do that work. So it's not simply something that ends at the dinner table, for that is just the beginning. You equip us with good things that we could do the work you have called us to do. Hear us then, and bless and keep us, and strengthen us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.